View Radio at its best. This is Generations.
Good day. Welcome to Generations Radio, bringing hope and relationships to a lost and dying world. My name is Mike Cheney, and I'm here today with my good buddies, Steve Vaughn and Dan Einerson.
Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Steve.
We're going to talk today about a subject that you normally would not hear from dads, I think, but we will do our best, and it has to do with hospitality. We were talking before we went on the air about how you would think that our wives should come down and handle this subject, being the genteel and finer and refined sex, but we're going to do our best today, and the reason that we wanted to take this on is because, frankly, hospitality is a part of the command from God to live our lives honorably and obediently before Him. In as much as hospitality takes place in the home, it is the father in the home who should be directing how it goes and when hospitality is extended to others, and the entire process. It should not be left up to the wife, as so many things have been, as men have abdicated their responsibility in the home.
We'll still let the wives decorate, though.
Yeah, oh, yes, and pick the menu. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, the closest that I often come to hospitality is just inviting some other guys to join us at our elk hunting campfire. So I know I have a lot to learn in this area.
Not that that isn't hospitable, but somehow I think it's a little bit different gnawing a piece of meat on the end of a hunting knife that is burned with the meat being raw compared to the fine tables that our wives and daughters set for guests in our home, something that's much more appropriate and honoring to our guests. But let's get into this a little bit, this concept of hospitality. We are told in the Word of God to practice hospitality, and the words that are used in the Greek there have to do with seeking after or pursuing hospitality, and it has to do with hospitality not to our friends. You know, there isn't much about the commandments that is easy to do. This has to do with hospitality toward strangers. 1 Peter 4:9 says we're to be hospitable to one another without complaint, and in Hebrews that we're not to neglect to show hospitality. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth.
And this is not something that is a new concept. This is not just a New Testament thing, but this goes all the way back into an old covenant practice that was called coming under the shadow of the roof.
Yes.
And this was a very well seen, although it was kind of in a very odd case with Lot and just before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, and what Lot did when the angels came into his household, and he talked about them, you know, don't do this to them. They have come under the shadow of my roof. And so what he did, although it was very wrong, it was he was acting in protection of who he thought were these strangers that came that he was now a friend to. And a friend, according to the Bible, is someone that you take responsibility for. And so I am now responsible for that person's health, their livelihood, if somebody is pursuing them, and all of that. Well, why don't we take a break right now? We'll come right back on Generations, and we'll get into this a little bit further. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Generations. I'm Steve Vaughn, and again, we're here with Dan Einerson and Mike Cheney. We're talking about hospitality and beginning with the custom of coming under the shadow of the roof. Now, how did that work? If you were a Middle Eastern person and somebody came to your house, this was seen as a gift from God, that God had sent this stranger to your home for you to bless that person. He would come under your roof, under the shadow of your roof. You would bring him in, him or her. You would at least wash their feet and then give them something to eat and something to drink. You wouldn't ask them who they were. You wouldn't ask them where they came from, how long they're going to be there, because then they might think that you're wanting to get rid of them. And if there's somebody pursuing them, you would go out and fight their battle. This was somebody you have now taken responsibility for. This was what was called in the Old Covenant a friend. And this is taken over then into Luke chapter 11 after the disciples had said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. He gave them that prayer and then he told them the story. He said to them, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. He has had somebody come under the shadow of his roof and they have eaten all their bread. He had to know at midnight who would have bread at this time. And so from the inside, and see, Jesus was saying this now, knowing the custom, he was saying this tongue in cheek. So he said, this guy was saying from the inside, don't bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. And then Jesus says, no, rather, he's going to give him everything that he needs. Because now this man is, now he's participating in this coming under the shadow. He's blessed by giving these 3 loaves of bread. And Jesus said that this had to do with prayer. We need to go to God. God's the one with the 3 loaves, and he's the one that gives us everything that we need.
And when we practice hospitality and bring people in under our roof, we are extending the love of God to the stranger. I'm looking back here in the book of Deuteronomy, and Moses is rehearsing God's mercy to his people that he's leading. And he says in verse 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 10, and now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And then down further in this passage in verse 17, it says, for the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords. He is the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him. And he continues to say that he is your praise and he is your God. And one of the things that we see over and over again is that the children of Israel were, first of all, guests in the land of Egypt. They were invited there by Joseph under Pharaoh, and they were given a large area that they could have pastures for their sheep. And when they first went there, there was only 70 people. And when they came out, there were over a million or more, maybe millions of people that came out hundreds of years later. But during the time they were in Egypt, they were strangers. They became slaves late in that period, and God delivered them from the land. But God told them to remember that when they were in a foreign land, they were strangers, and God loves the stranger, and he cares for the fatherless and the widow and the orphan and the foreigner. And so I'd like to just talk a little bit about how maybe we can be hospitable to those who we may invite under our roof that come from a foreign land, a stranger, someone who's unfamiliar with America. I think that's something that we as Christians can do to not only bless others that don't know anything about America, but when we have foreign students or people who travel to America for a short period of time, we can open our homes and either have a foreign student live with us for a period of time or just on a overnight basis. And one of the things our family has done is host foreign students, and we're heavily involved with the 4-H program. The 4-H program has the International 4-H Youth Exchange, and so we send young people to 80 some countries all over the world, and we invite and host young people from all those countries throughout America. And as a 4-H family, we've hosted young people for a period of time in our home and given them the opportunity to see what America is like. Our most recent host daughter that I had was a girl from Japan, and her name was Kaori. And Kaori came to stay with us for several weeks. And not only did she get to participate in washing the turkeys for the county fair and spending time with us in various activities, going up in the mountains and having lots of fun, but she went to church with us. And every day we would open God's Word and read it together. And I found a Japanese Bible for Kaori and gave it to her. And we prayed together and prayed for her and shared the gospel with her. And at the end of that time, she went back home and we got a letter from her mother. And her mother said, we really appreciate the hospitality that you showed to our daughter when she was in Colorado. And we were really interested to know more about your trust in your Lord Jesus Christ. And that gave us an opportunity then to extend our hospitality even overseas with correspondence to her family and share with her family more about the gospel.
What a wonderful story, Dan, and it reminds me of the definition of the Greek word for hospitality. It means love for strangers, and pursuing, the word pursuing is used many times in Scripture with respect to that term, hospitality, to seek after it, to practice it, to pursue it, and it's the easiest thing in the world for the three of us to be hospitable to each other. We're friends, and we attend the same assembly together and a covenant together in many ways. And how simple is that? It's the most natural thing in the world for us to be hospitable toward one another. We have just finished having a meal together with our families. But this concept of hospitality goes first and foremost to strangers, because that is how God loved us before we were sanctified as His children. That breaking of bread is, of course, symbolic in many ways, not only in terms of our Lord being the bread of life and broken for us, or the literal manna nourishment, physical nourishment from heaven that the nation of Israel was given day by day by God Almighty from His hand to their mouth. This concept of the breaking of bread together is chronicled throughout the Scriptures. I can't think of very many conversations that took place around the water cooler or over someone's desk or conference table, but there are many, many, many instances of lessons learned and lessons given by God when God was supping with man, breaking bread and having a meal with him. I'm also reminded of when Lydia received the Lord under Paul's teaching. It's written of in chapter 16 of Acts, where Paul says, beginning in verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer, and we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And then in verse 15, it says, when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home and saying, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. She sought after them. She didn't know those people before them, but invited them into her home to give them hospitality. And we've had many, many instances where friendships were begun with people who we have as close friends today because of hospitality. We had been invited into people's homes and reciprocated, and that has proven to be such a wonderful blessing to our family. The amount of effort that you put in is significant, because part of hospitality is doing something special, going perhaps above and beyond, because these are guests that we're inviting into our home. And as my wife Roxy said to me recently, where we might normally use paper napkins, today we're going to use cloth because we're having guests in our home. Or if we don't use a tablecloth today, we will, or we'll use the different, the better china, because we want to mark this occasion. We want to treat these folks well, and it's not a matter of trying to keep up with the Joneses or one-up them after they've had us at our house and use their flatware that they don't normally use, that we try to do something better or nicer for them. pardon me, but it's a matter of showing respect and care and love for one another. You know, this is also part and parcel of covenanting with one another in our assemblies. This art of hospitality, which I believe it is rightly called, has been lost. It is so much easier, so much more convenient to either meet someone at a restaurant. Not that having a meal with someone at a restaurant is a sin, but that having people into our homes for many of us has become cumbersome, and families, even extended families, getting together. Maybe some of the folks listening to us have been in situations where they go to someone's house and it's obvious that hospitality is not, quote, on the menu at their home because it's odd and it's cumbersome and there aren't enough chairs or there are too many chairs and no one knows where to sit. And even the patriarch of the home, even the mother and father, the grandmother and grandfather, have become so used to their empty nest world where they sit in the kitchen at the eating space with their plates and sit in front of the 9-inch TV screen watching, you know, Channel 9 News while they're having their dinner. They don't know how to converse. They don't know how to pace the meal so that one person isn't forced to talk for 25 minutes while everyone is shoveling food in their mouths. The whole rhythm has been lost, along with so much of the rest of what was given to us as some of God's good gifts.
I think the reason why, you know, the scripture that Dan read talked about, remember how you were strangers in Egypt. He wasn't saying that this is how you ought to treat the strangers at your door. He's saying this is how not to do that. You were treated as slaves. You were treated horribly. They beat you. They didn't take care of you. He's saying that God loves the stranger. You are a stranger in Egypt. Don't do it this way. You need to do it this other way. And the way that he said to do it is how God treats us, that we come to him. We come under the shadow of his wings, as it says in Psalm 91, that when we're under the shadow of his wings, he gives us everything that we need. And what do we need? We need salvation. We need him. We need Christ. But he also goes beyond that, and he blesses us. He washes us clean.
Yes.
He invites us into his home. He gives us something to, he gives us bread. He gives us wine. And, you know, that is what he's saying we need to do for others that are strangers as well. When Jennifer and I were first married back in Kansas, at a small church that we went to in La Crosse, the barbed wire capital of the world, you've probably heard of it. And anyway, there was a couple that were, they were actually Korean missionaries to Thailand. And that was, they said the language barrier was really big between Korean and Thailand. But when they came, Jennifer and I, it was just seemed natural that, you know, they were asking, where can they stay? And we said, we have no kids. We've got 3 bedrooms. They can stay with us. And so they stayed with us for several days. And it was just, it was wonderful to have them there and them and having them tell stories about trying to overcome the language barrier. And if they, the emphasis on the wrong syllable, that it totally changed the meaning. He was trying to, one real quick one, he was trying to do communion with this kids group. And so he tried to use their language and say, you know, take this bread and eat it. But because of how he said it, he actually said, take a chicken and step on it. And the kids just started laughing. What'd I say? And so just stuff like that. And it was just so wonderful having him there. How about you, Dan?
The stories that we reminisce on when we are hospitable are rich. And for some people, hospitality is a natural type of thing. For other people, being hospitable and welcoming others into your home may not be a comfortable thing for you. In fact, it can actually be an awkward thing, a scary thing. And just as a disclaimer, I need to say that being hospitable is not an easy thing for me. It's not as easy for me to be hospitable as it is for my wife. And I think of all of the details, you know, cleaning up the house and making everything presentable. And I just kind of like to, you know, kick back and be in my own house and leave it the way it is. But whenever we do take the extra effort to pick up, to present our home in a presentable way, and to treat others special as they come in. We get to know them, and the more that we do that, it's easier. And so what I'm saying is if you're not a hospitable type of person, just start practicing it in a small way, maybe with the people that you know and you like the best. Get to know them better, and as you do that, you start to reach a deeper level of friendship. You start sharing things that are important to you. You find out that everybody else around you has the same kinds of struggles. And then as you have others that you don't know as well come into your home and treat the stranger special, God will give you a blessing for that. And a lot of the best experiences we've had in our family is having people in that we haven't known before, and now they are our friends. So we can collect a lot of friendships through the years by practicing this. I'm thinking about what Jesus said here in Matthew 26, that he said that the king will say to those, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me, and I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? When did we give you drink or take you in as a stranger and see you naked and clothe you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And what this says to me is that when we're being truly hospitable, we won't even know we're doing it. We don't even know that we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll start to become natural to us, and we will receive a blessing for it.
Yes, we will. And what we will also find out is that the blessings we receive will exceed the amount of work that we have to do. So, guys, give your wives latitude. Give her money to buy the extra portions of food. Help her. Don't grouse about it. You're going to find out that most people don't have 12 matching chairs. You're all going to be sitting on milk crates or whatever. But once you get around the table, it matters not. What is important to focus on is the hospitable nature of the Christian life through Jesus Christ. This has been Generations Radio for Steve Vaughn and Dan Einerson. I'm Mike Cheney. We thank you for being with us today. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
God bless you.